Yeah, so over the last couple of years, hockey's governing bodies, including the NHL, but also down to the ECHL, Canadian Hockey Canada, Canadian Women's League, Canadian Junior Leagues, Canadian Hockey League, everyone getting together to talk about how to sort of grow the game in North America and around the world as well. And one of the key things they talked about from the very beginning was to discuss a way of sort of getting principles together for what it means to be a hockey player and what it means to play in hockey. And to talk a little bit more about that, we're bringing in now the NHL's Vice President of Hockey Development, Pat LaFontaine, joins us, the NHL superstar. Pat, thanks for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure, guys.
So all these organizations, first of all, coming together for meetings is incredible. You got everyone to agree on one thing, which is amazing in itself. But you've come out with basically what you would describe as brand principles for hockey in general. How did this discussion actually start?
Well, it started probably almost 4 years ago. I approached Deputy Commissioner Bill Daley, and after having a chance, obviously, to play the game and a privilege at the highest levels and then coach youth hockey and just be a part of the game and at many levels, it was just mentioning to him, saying, hey, is there a way we can look at age-appropriate development and alignment and see if there's a chance to get, talk to, the structure of our game, how can we be better? And he said, why don't we get some leaders of the game? Let's have a summit. Let's get everybody in the room and start talking. And I think it turned out to be extremely powerful meetings. And now it's the global hockey community coming together really on what started to be how could we make that experience better, that right age appropriate development. This common theme of culture in our sport came up at the lower levels, and how do we address that, and how do we as leaders be responsible to working at leadership and supporting those efforts. And we did a deep dive, and we actually even hired an independent group that talked, and we obviously talked to the whole community, not just the organizations at the higher levels, but all organizations, parents, the players, the rink operators, the coaches. And really, the Declaration of Principles is a reflection of what they were saying to us. We've heard them. They've all spoken, and what the game means to them, what it stands for, and how we feel about it. And I think the Declaration of Principles embodies those feelings. And the leaders of the game today now signed a Declaration of the Principles to support them and bring them to life.
Pat, why do we need this in hockey?
Well, I think one of the things about hockey is that we love the speed, we love the artistry, we love, the excitement of the game. But it's really important to focus on the value that hockey really gives you, the principles, the character values, the life skills, the leadership, teamwork, discipline. I think at the end of the day, there is a strong focus on trying to make the top 1% or the top 2%, whether it be pro or college. And that's a bonus, and it's great if you get there. But the game of hockey offers so much more. And I think when we talk to parents, we asked them at the end of the day, what do you really want for your child? And they said, well, we want our child to be happy, healthy, well-rounded, and successful. Well, then if you look at the skills and life skills and the character the game gives you as a vehicle, it can offer that value too. And we kind of look at it, when we send our kids to school and take math class, we're not expecting them to be a math professor. We're expecting them to learn a skill, maybe to balance a checkbook later on in life. So why should hockey be any different? Why should we not look at hockey as this amazing vehicle to give our children and give the sport those skills? And then also, I think it's the hockey community coming together in a responsible way at all levels to create that best family hockey experience. If you're not having fun, you're not having a good experience at every age, you're not going to play. It's not going to be fun anymore. You're not going to pass it on to your kids one day. And so I think there's a huge push on the leadership level to support those efforts to create whatever programming that might be to make sure anybody who plays the game at all levels has that, positive family experience.
Pat, how much of a discussion between all the leaders was about two things. One, the role of the parents and some of the problems that we've seen around parents and pushing their kids to a certain level, and also the cost of the sport as well.
Yeah.
My son's six, and we paid $600 this year for him to play hockey. And, you know, we're happy to do that, but there are a lot of families who can't do that. So how do you sort of bring the game to people and grow the game to those who maybe can't afford something like that?
Well, and it's a great question. And so, you know, I guess I could say I have three children. They're all different, but I love them all the same. And what's important is that whether you're playing elite hockey, whether there's a program to play 5 weeks out of the year, 10 weeks out of the year, 20 weeks out of the year, we as hockey leaders need to and have, by the Declaration of Principles, are supporting how do we work with those rink operators, how do we speak to the coaches and parents to create that opportunity for that best experience. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I'll ask you this quick question. If you knew your child was getting a tremendous experience and getting great value and learning life skills and character, would you pay that $600?
Absolutely. And
you can afford it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but like if you can afford it, that comes down.
Oh, and I will say this to you. It's like public school and private school. If a family realizes that there's great value in learning and teaching and building that character and those life skills, they'll make those choices. And I think in hockey, I think that's some of the discussions we had. How do we support the programming? How do we support, you know, allowing all players to experience the game? One of our values is there's significant benefits to playing all forms of the game on and off the ice.
Yeah.
So if there's an area where you don't have as much ice, obviously we're encouraging ball hockey, stick hockey, field hockey, roller hockey. You know, playing the game of hockey, it's all inclusive, and it's not just being on the ice.
Right.
We're talking with Pat LaFontaine here this morning on Sportsnet 650, your home for the Vancouver Canucks. Hey, Pat, just to bring this back to a National Hockey League standpoint, to change gears here for a second, you know, you were the face of the Islanders at one time, and here right now the organization's at a crossroads with John Tavares and their captain and their kind of current face of the franchise. Look, there was a time that the Islanders were the model franchise in the NHL. And, you know, kind of keeping their cornerstone, their franchise guys, their franchise players, it's been an issue for the better part of the last 30 years or so. What would your advice be to a guy like John Tavares here with the Islanders going forward here at a time where, you know, he's probably got to figure out to fish or cut bait?
Well, I mean, I was in those shoes probably, you know, at one time.
Yeah.
Where the commitment of the team was going. And I think, you know, obviously there's a destination where the team is going to ultimately play. I know the ownership groups are working at trying to resolve that and create that state-of-the-art facility. I know John Tavares has been nothing but a great example and a leader and just a tremendous, tremendous hockey player, asset in the community. So as far as character and the talent and cornerstone, I mean, he's right up there with the best of them. So, you know, I would just say if I were in their shoes, you would do anything in your power to keep him and figure out a way to make his demands and make him happy, because he embodies all those values and he's a winner and he leads by example. So I don't know what's going to happen, but you know, that's a priority and would be a priority to get him locked in.
Pat, one last question about the brand principles, and the one I think is an important one for what we're seeing in society right now is acceptance and accepting people of all different walks of life to be a part of the sport as well. How was the discussion about that and how to move forward with specifically the acceptance and make sure that everyone is welcome?
Yeah, inclusivity. We there's going to be. I would encourage you to go on to. ThisIsHockey.org. There's a wonderful anthemic commercial on everybody from all different levels, genders, race, socioeconomic background, excuse me,
yep.
who are seen into the sport, thanking the game, whether it be someone as a sled hockey player, a female hockey player, all levels, all ages, just embracing the fact that hockey is all-inclusive. And we welcome anybody who wants to play the sport, any form. And really, I think the guiding principles in the Declaration speaks volumes of the people involved in the whole entire global hockey community. And I think it's pretty special that it's the coming to the tail end of our 100-year anniversary. And what a historic day, and all of hockey all together agreeing on a set of principles to, you know, ensure the well-being of the next 100 years. And what's most important, guys, is obviously bringing them to life and living the principles.